Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I am so glad to hear you, to see you, to be with you, so that we can come before His throne and remind ourselves and remind those that are with us that He is greater than our greatest enemy. He is greater than our greatest fear. And so we are going to remind each other with this first song. Would you stand? Bring your time and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. Well, that's all right, 'cause I hear a voice and He calls me redeemed when others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than He who is living in the world. That I lose the battle, grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, He's greater.
I am learning to run freely, understanding just how He sees me, and it makes me love Him more and more.
He's greater, He's greater.
There'll be days that I lose the battle, grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, He's greater.
I am learning to run freely, understand just how He sees me, and it makes me love Him more and more.
He's greater, He's greater.
'Cause I hear a voice and He calls me redeemed when others say I'll never be enough. Greater is the one living inside of me than He who is living in the world. In the world. Someone greater than anybody else in the world or any other enemies should give us great, that combined with the fact that He loves us, should give us great assurance that we have somebody that is for us, and He wants to be for us. us. He wants us to lean into him. And many of the Psalms, this one in particular, reassure us of that, that this is a God that wants to be our God and wants to be our shield and wants to be our defense. Listen to what he says in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He wants to be our shield.
Is my shepherd. He goes before me, defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear. Comfort. your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me.
Father, thank you for the promise that you're a shepherd even to wandering sheep. And when we wander, you go looking for us. I pray that we would take this to heart as we deal with what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. That you are a shepherd. You are a refuge. Thank you so much for loving us that much. I pray that we honor you for the rest of our time here this morning. I lift this up and pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated.
Mm-hmm. Greetings, everybody. It is good to see you in person, and it's good for those to see you who are online watching. Glad that you've joined with us. I just have a few announcements. Our Christmas Impact continues this week with the final day of the in-person drop-off for items for Life Builders. And if you didn't get a chance to drop off stuff for Life Builders, you can purchase items online at the Giving Tree. You can still shop online using the link at the church website, the yourc3.org/Christmas. And you can do that all the way through December. Items purchased online will be shipped directly to Life Builders. They have over 100 children that they serve, and everyone will be blessed by that if you're able to be part of that. As you bake cookies, we are encouraging you to make some extra for the incarcerated youth program. For those of you that are new, we do a ministry here, at least we did before COVID hit, where we would go down and work with a juvenile detention facility that had kids that were 12 to 18 years old, and we would have a Christmas party for them and make cookies. And so as you're making cookies, if you can still make some, and bring them in by December 13th, and they will find their way down there. You're still going to be able to, you know, even though with the restrictions, still can do cookies, brownies, cupcakes, and we'll get them down there and make that happen. So that's a great opportunity. And then next Sunday begins our Advent Bible study at 11 o'clock in room 214. The class will be hosted by Jim Reimer, and it will also be available on Zoom. And you're going to get the details of that when the program is sent out next week. So we have a picture of our own Connor Fagan, who past the Crucible, which is a 54-hour capstone training thing that he had to make that, and now he's officially a Marine. So we thank the Lord for that. Hoo-ah! Is that what they say? Is that the right one? So I know the Fagans in the back, and they are grateful for your prayers for him, and it's neat. I mean, just think about that. Like almost 18 years ago, we dedicated that little boy right here, and here he is now serving our country. So we want to be praying for him and all those that serve our country. And we've had a lot of folks who have lost loved ones this week. I know Karen Martin, who I forgot to mention, lost a nephew, passed away. Mike Silowak had a brother pass away. And Donna Gowan's father-in-law passed away this week. So we want to be praying for them as well. So let's just go to the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for your incredible goodness to us. Lord, as we've gone through this time of Thanksgiving, we really are thankful that you have given us life and breath and everything else. We thank you that you are God and you are good, and we praise you. Even in the midst of difficulties, we praise your holy name. Lord, we do thank you for Connor, that he passed this incredible test that he went through, and he's now a Marine. We thank you for him. And really, all those that serve our country, both here and abroad, and they keep us safe, and we give you thanks that you're the God that uses ordained authorities to help us in that, and we pray your blessing upon them and their families. Lord, we pray for this nation and continue to pray for President Trump and President-elect Biden as there's this transition that will go on, that things will be done decently and in order, that we would be able to live a quiet and peaceful life. Lord, we think of those that have lost loved ones this week, and just pray for their families that they would grieve well. And so we pray that you would do your working and give comfort in all of these families. Lord, we come now, and we normally would receive an offering, and yet you have blessed us. And so whether we will put money in the box outside or we will give it online, we just want to say thank you and bless your holy name for your goodness to us. And we just pray that you would speak to us through the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue to worship, so please stand.
Summer and winter.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature. Great is thy faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great. strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine within vows and beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Sing that line again.
One of the great blessings of having Pastor Jason preach every other week is that not only do you get a chance to hear from someone else, a different style, different perspective, a different voice, a different face, a different skill set, but it also gives us like an extra week to prepare, which is really good. I mean, I did the preaching every week and doing every funeral for like 10 years, and I don't know how I did it. I don't think I ever got a day off is what it came down to. But I preached last Sunday. I'm sitting in my office on Monday working on my Monday night Bible study, and I find out that Pastor Nate has the corona. And I also find out that the one person in the church that he had talked to and hung out with was Pastor Jason, who watched his kids a week ago Friday. Now, happy to report, both of them are doing great. Jason didn't get it. Nate's fine. But as we were talking, it's like, we don't know if he's going to get it, so I should probably preach. So here I am, and I know what you're thinking. You know, you're thinking, well, you're making excuses because you've only had one week to prepare. So, and I'm not telling you to lower your expectations, really not. But we're going to talk about something that I have been stewing on, thinking about, noodling on for a long time. Ever since the second week of March, we have been on what some have called the Corona Coaster. And according to the Urban Dictionary, which isn't the greatest, but it says, when your emotions are on a roller coaster due to all the news each day about coronavirus, I wake up and I'm in a good mood, and then I watch the news and I start crying. And there's other versions of that definition that says, I wake up, I watch the news, and I start drinking, which is not a good thing. But if you take that and you throw into it the election, you take into that all of the upheaval that we have had this year, the rioting, the protest, the controversy that goes on. Do we wear a mask? Don't we wear a mask? Do we have church? Do we not have church? Do we meet at all? Do we social distance? You know, the government's closing down schools, not closing down schools, businesses. I've been exposed. I haven't been exposed. Well, I might have been exposed. You get all of those things that are going on, and people are carrying a heavy load. And this has affected a lot of relationships. It just really has. People are frustrated, and in some cases, lifelong friends are not talking. Some people aren't talking to family members. And not all of you have been affected by this. Some of you are like going, well, what's the big deal? It hasn't happened to me. I can say personally, in the last 9 months, I have had hundreds of conversations over the phone, in person, texts, probably thousands of texts, emails, all kinds of conversation of people who have displayed their angst, their frustration, their fear, and their anger over everything that's been going on. And I was sitting in my office on Wednesday trying to figure out, like, what am I going to say? You know, I mean, what am I going to preach to everybody? And I kind of knew where I wanted to go, but I looked on my desk. I have a little clock that my pastor gave me back when I was ordained 25 years ago, and there's a passage on there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that says this: preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so we're going to endeavor to do that today. Normally we're going through books of the Bible. We just got done with 1 Peter. We are headed towards the book of Psalms in the first of the year. But I do want to do some, I do want to preach the word. I want to reprove. I want to rebuke. I want to exhort. And hopefully I'll do it with complete patience and teaching. And I start all this by saying, here's where we're going to go. We're going to look at three observations, things that I've witnessed over the last 9 months. And then we're going to look at three exhortations for all of us. And I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching to myself. I'll reiterate this. A lot of these things I have struggled with along the way, and I haven't been quiet about that with you. But this is the message where I kind of put it all together because we've not done well in some of this stuff, and I want us to kind of regroup and do better as we go forward. Number one, or point A, three observations or cautions of what I have witnessed. And it's not just me, by the way. I have talked to a bunch of pastors, and from a church standpoint, this is by far the worst time ever of being a pastor because nobody's on the same page. Flat out, nobody's on the same page. So we're gonna get into that. Number one, we have gotten too affected by the world. All of us have. Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things, and so are we. Some of you have lost your job. Some of you have you've lost your business. Some of you have had all kinds of things happen, and the devil can get a foothold. And I think that I want to give us a break about this because there's a part of me that says, well, yeah, we've all gotten affected by the world. I mean, we couldn't help it. I mean, this is crazy of what has happened. If you think about it, 20 or 30 years ago, I don't think it would have been that bad. I mean, now we have not only 24-hour news cycles, but everyone, including 5-year-olds, are carrying around iPhone 12s, and they're getting updates, and the news changes every 10 minutes. What was there 1 hour and what was absolute truth 1 hour ago is now. It's like, well, no, it's different now. And it has affected us. And the propaganda machine on both sides of the equation has been going on. And I don't care what you're including, whether it's politics, the riots, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's masks, do you have church, do you not have church, what do you do? It has been going full throttle. And I think historians will look back at this and there'll be many lessons to learn. I mean, for the first time in our lives, you go to put something on the internet, and now you have Facebook and you have Twitter, and they're now censoring it. You have YouTube. It's like, okay, well, no, you can't. You don't have free speech, so you're taking that one off. And we've never had that before. And so there's a lot of crazy things that have happened. Remember when this all started? The government said, don't wear masks. They don't work. Remember that? For they did it for like the first few days. And they were trying to save the masks for the frontline workers, which like, oh, great, we don't matter, you know. I mean, so that was comforting to know. Throw me under the bus. And then the CDC and the World Health Organization, well, they changed their mind, and they said wear masks. And then the government came out, and they said, okay, you know, our governor said, we're going to shut everything down, and we're gonna flatten that curve. We reluctantly said, okay. Well, and the curve got flattened. And then they changed the goal. And it's like, well, no, we want to reduce this. It's like, well, no, we're going to flatten the curve. And so they flattened part of the economy, and many of you are still struggling because of that. All of these events, including everything, has gotten everybody worked up. That is truly what has happened. And part of that is we've gotten our eyes off of King Jesus, self-included, and there are times when we have acted very poorly, very sinfully through this whole thing, self-included, which all of this stuff that has happened has led to our anger that is destructive. It's not been good. And the scripture is very clear in James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so that anger has been not only we've been mad at everything, and sometimes we've been mad at each other for the first time. Every church has gone through what we're actually. I think we've weathered it in some cases better than some. But you know, if you took one side and said, "Okay, this is the no mask side, and this is the mask side," and next thing you know, everyone's kind of we've been like a little angry at everyone, angry at everything. And it hasn't been good. I know when the economy shut down, the great thing, here's the upside. Everybody's gardens looked great last spring. Because the only thing you could do is go outside. Well, my dear wife is out there. She's working away. And she breaks her little shovel. It broke. It broke right off. And me not being able to fix anything. So I, being a loving husband, I said, babe, I'm going to go find you a new one. So I go out to Menards. I find one on the shelf. I go to the register, and I set it down. $14.95 is going to pay for it. And they said, sorry, you can't buy that because that's a garden tool, and you can't buy it. And I didn't. I mean, I blew a gasket, but not at her. I said, like, are you kidding me? It's right next to the stuff I can buy. I got it in hand. And I'm telling you, I was on the struggle bus. Now, I wasn't mad at her because it wasn't her rule. She's like, I know, it's crazy. But I was like, why? Why can't I do this? I mean, and I was like, I was irritated. And I spoke evil of our governor. And it was not good. It was sin. Call it what it was. It was sin. I went to Walmart's. And they had a piece of caution tape for the garden section. And I look and I see this. And I pull it out and there's a guy right here. And I said, buddy, I said, look what I'm doing. I said, I'm grabbing this. And I said, I could lie to you and tell you that this is the clean out cat litter. This is for my cereal bowl. But I said, here's the truth. I said, my wife broke her thing. I'm trying to make her happy. I went to Menards. They said, no, can I buy this thing? And he's like, dude, I get it. He says, just go pay for it. So I broke the law, I guess. And my wife used this all summer. And that's just one issue. One issue. I had dozens and dozens and dozens of phone calls from different people to say, you know, either on one side, they're saying, you know, nobody cares. You don't care that I get sick. You don't care that I die. And then the other side is like, I want my freedom. And they're quoting Braveheart when he's there getting ready to have his neck cut off. And they're yelling, freedom! And then you throw into that all of what went on in social media and the anger. And both sides could argue, well, I had righteous indignation. And I would submit to you, not much of our anger is really righteous. It really isn't. Not much of our irritation is good. And in that anger, we said some things that, whether it was on Facebook or wherever, or in person or on text, that was not glorifying to our God and our Savior. And that is what I've observed. And again, guilty. Third thing, we have become overly opinionated to the point of judgment and unkindness. Everybody is offended. Everybody is offended by something. And the scripture tells us in James 4:11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Those who speak evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. And obviously we know Matthew 7:1, do not judge lest you be judged. And like I said, in my 25 years, everyone has an opinion. Now, as a pastor, everyone's always got an opinion. But even the most non-opinionated of you came out with, you know, all kinds of things. And here's the problem is, on one side, again, two sides, one side would make an accusation to the other. It's like, well, you're not loving. You don't love us. And the other side would say, well, you're paranoid, you know, or you're not trusting the Lord. And said it with tone. And unfortunately, we've sinned. That's not good. It's just not good. It's not good. And I've observed that. And again, and have I been guilty of it? 100%. And yet, I preach to myself, because when you look at Galatians 5, which we went through Galatians, and he's talking about the Judaizers, so the context there, he's talking about circumcision, but the application of what he says in chapter 5, verse 13 and on is for all of us. He says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. That imagery of a wild animal attacking another animal, and just graphically, just you're devouring, they're tearing it apart. And I really have seen both sides do this. I really have, and it's not been good. It has not been good, and I do think there's, you know, it's been this perfect storm of, oh, what, you know, I got this expert on this side, and I got this expert on this side. And by the way, you all sent me your experts. Can I just tell you that? I got them all. And I ended up starting sending them back. It's like, okay, this side didn't like this side, so guess what? I'm going to take their argument and send it your way and just say, this is what we're dealing with here, people. And there has been more biting and devouring that I think, and judging. I mean, talk about not good. It's not been good. And I say that as a gentle and kind of not gentle rebuke to myself and to all of us. This has not been good. So, I want to turn it to three exhortations. What do we do? Because here's the reality. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Guess what? They may close everything down again. They may open it up. They may do this. They may do that. Who knows what's going to happen? But we do need to act the right way through this as believers. And if this side disagrees with this side and this side disagrees with this side, we need to love each other. We need to be kind to each other. And so we're gonna talk about that a little bit. So here's some exhortations, things to be Christ-centered about. Number one, we can rejoice that God uses trouble to help us grow. This is just a verse we use all the time, but guess what? We need it. When James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We know that if you live in this world, you're going to have trouble. That's what Jesus said in John 16:33. Job said, a man's born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. We're going to have trouble, but God redeems the trouble. He does use it as a training time to help us grow, to mature us. I mean, through this whole thing, at Thanksgiving, we go back and we kind of give thanks for the whole year. We do the little thanks notes and we look at our journals. And not been an easy year. I mean, you guys know we cared for my mom, and there was not one week that went by that one of my brothers wasn't criticizing us about something. And through it all, through all the junk that came our way, you know what it exposed? Our sin. I mean, Jane and I are just two horrible people. Can I tell you that? We're really horrible. And I'm worse than she is. And there has been, through this trial, and every trial, it's good because it kind of pulls away. It's like, okay, you think you're mature? You think you know everything? Well, guess what? And it has been a good part of this is that God uses it to help us grow. It's no fun. I do have a hard time counting it joy because it's like I hate trials. But I count it joy in that God is working in and through the trials. And in Romans chapter 5, it says this, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Here he goes again. Knowing, though, that our suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So even in our failures, even in our failing and hopefully falling forward, as we repent, God helps us to grow and to move forward. And so that part is good. We know God's going to use this. He's going to use this. And in our trials, again, they're not over. Let's say this vaccine works, boom. And they pull it all out, and by the end of December, everybody who wants the vaccine can have it. That's another argument that you're going to have. Oh, you're going to be the non-vaccine side. You're going to be the vaccine side. I mean, that one's coming. And so the trials aren't going to be over. We're going to have trials. It'll be a new trial. It'll be a different trial. We don't know what it is, and for that we're grateful. But we do know this. God is going to use it in our lives. Every one of us who calls on his name, he's going to use it. Number two, exhortation for us. Biblical principles need to be learned and also applied. Learned and applied. Learned and applied. We got to learn it. We got to know it. We got to know what the Bible says about different things. And then we have to apply it. It's just the most basic thing. If we don't, we can know it, but if we're not applying it, it's doing us no good. In Psalm 86 and verse 15, it says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Let me ask you a question. Has God been merciful to you? Has he been gracious to you? That answer is yes. He has not treated you as your sins deserve. If he treated you as your sins deserve, you would be dead. He's a holy God. You and I are not holy. We would be gonzo. But he hasn't done that. He and his grace and his mercy have kept us alive. And guess what? As his children, those that call on his name, he wants us to do the same thing to other people. And so in Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's what he wants us to be, because we have been the recipients of his grace. And during this time, we have failed in this. When President Trump came down with coronavirus, there were many, some spoken, some not, who were basically saying, he's getting what he deserved. He's getting what he deserved. He didn't wear his mask. He wasn't careful. And there you go. And that attitude that came out of believers is sinful. It's just sinful. God doesn't treat us that way. It's not good. And on the other side, those that sit there and say, the people that haven't been out to church, they just don't have faith. They're just paranoid. They're just not trusting the Lord. Can I tell you, that's sinful. That's wrong. We are to judge nobody. And that's been very hard. And I personally think we've all failed in that. It's here's what's been interesting. Some of the people, because some of our people are getting the virus now, some of the people who have been the most careful mask wearers have gotten the virus. And one of them, and I got permission to tell her story, Julie Ressler. Julie wore that mask all the time. Was very careful, very careful. And then she came down with it, and I was talking to her this week, and she said, I had to make the call of shame. The call of shame. I said, what do you mean the call of shame? It's like, well, you know, I had to start calling people to say, well, I got the coronavirus. And why was it shameful? Because she knew people would judge her. It's like, oh, Julie, what did you do wrong? You know, you weren't careful. Now, I don't think anyone said that to her, but she felt like, well, I must have done something wrong. And the reality is, you can do everything right. I've heard stories. Now, I don't know if it's true because I don't know exactly how it works, but people who like are 100% like real careful, somehow they get it. And whether you get it or not, we shouldn't sit there and say, yeah, you got it because you're terrible. Or we shouldn't sit there to say, well, those people are like, they're isolating themselves, so they're terrible. It's like, we need to stop that. I really do. I just say that in the kindest way to say we need to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and people are going to have different views on this. Right now, there are churches or in our community that have shut down. We've stayed open. Doesn't mean we're better than them. Doesn't mean we're worse than them. It just doesn't. And so we need to give people the respect and the dignity to have different views and to not be offended if they don't agree with you, no matter what side you're on. And I think that would honor the Lord. And so when the scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, I do think for many on both sides, we have to repent. We have to do what the psalmist did, what David did when he sinned. He said, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. We don't need to rationalize our sins. We don't need to say, well, I did this because. No, we just need to, like, where we've been wrong, and we need to confess that, every one of us. For some of you, you may need to go to somebody and say, you know, what I said, maybe what I posted, that was wrong, that was harsh. But I do think we need to, it starts there and doing what's right and being careful. So my exhortation is to rejoice. The Lord's going to help us in these troubles. The biblical principles need to be learned and applied. And then the last thing is we need to place our hope firmly on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We do. We got to trust him. We got to put all our hope in him. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we go to the scriptures, and we have hope, and we have hope in the God of the universe. And there's an article that I read on Ligonier Ministries from David Murray on 10 reasons to have hope. And I'm just going to read it, just quickly go through these 10 of what hope does. Hope moves us forward. When we're downcast and we're not finding hope in anything, when we truly get our focus off of this world and get our hope on him, it does move us forward. Secondly, hope energizes the present. This is the day that the Lord has made, and no matter what happens, you know, try to be as careful as you may, as some of our people have been, and there is the chance you could get sick. You could die. It is the reality of life. I read an article. Again, I hate to do this. No, it was from St. John's or John Hopkins. And basically they said, take all of the other years that have gone on, and then you take 2020 up till now, same amount of deaths, but they've recategorized some deaths. So like heart disease deaths are way down. According to the CDC, they're way down. And deaths by pneumonia are way down, and deaths by this is way down. But the death rate's still there, and they've put them all in the coronavirus bucket. Now, again, whether that's true or not, don't send me an email to say, well, that guy was wrong, you know, because that's what happens. That guy was wrong. It's like, okay, either way, at the end of the day, you be as careful as you feel the Lord wants you to be, and you know what? Corona might not get you. You might die of a heart attack. But for us, it's not doomsday. For us, it's coronation day. For us to live as Christ and to die will be gain. And so live in the present that it's going to be okay. Right now, it's going to be okay. Number three, hope lightens our darkness. When things get dark and you can't help, I can't help. If I look at the news for just a hot second, I feel darkness falling on me. I do. And then I just got to take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, in the latter times, things are going to get worse and worse, and I guess we're in the latter times. Here we go. And so we have hope. Number four, hope increases faith. Faith fuels hope. Hope fuels faith. Hebrews chapter 11, they tie those together. And so as we have faith, we have hope. And it's like it's all good. Number five, hope is infectious. Just like negativity is infectious, I'm telling you, some of you went down a dark vortex because you hung around people who were doing nothing but doomsdaying and conspiracying and, you know, oh, this is going to happen. And you've gone down that hole. And we've all done it. And again, I'm not being critical. But when we have hope, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. What's your hope in? My hope is not in any kind of cure. It's not that the government's going to fix anything. My hope is in the Lord. Number six, hope is healing. A lot of us are scarred up. We've been through a lot, but when we have hope, we go back to what God's word says, that the God of the universe has this, and we do what he tells us to do, which is to love each other, to forgive each other, to dwell with one another in unity. It's pleasant when God's people live in unity. Hope is practical. It really is practical. When you put your hope on the Lord for the day, it will get you through the day. Number eight, hope purifies. Beloved, now we're the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. He who has this hope purifies himself. So it does. There is that purifying hope. Hope stabilizes us in the storm. This has been a storm of a year, but in Hebrews 6:16, it says, so that by two unchangeable things and that which is impossible for God to lie, we have fled for refuge, might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this in a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. So that when we look at the hope we have, it does stabilize us in the storm. We're going to be okay. We really are. And then the 10th one, hope defends. And uses the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober-minded, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. So let me tie this together. Some of you, this has not affected you at all. You haven't gotten irritated. You haven't gotten worked up. Some of us have. And we need to continue to be repenting. We need to continue to extend grace to people who we fundamentally disagree with. Brothers and sisters, you're not each other's enemy. You're not. And so we need to live together in unity. I long for the day when all the people that are watching online will feel utterly comfortable and safe to come back in, and it will be like it was. I long for that day, and I think they do too. But until that day, we need to care for each other. We need to be gracious. We need to not roll our eyes. We need to not do things that dishonor God. And we need to truly, when we do, because we can fall into quick holes, we need to repent quickly. And really, if we do that, we're going to be okay. But if we bite and devour each other, it's not good. So that is something the Lord has been putting on my heart for months. And we've said pieces of it here and there, but I wanted to just kind of lay that out because we're his children. And hopefully God's family is not like my family. My brothers and I, we're like capital D dysfunctional. But I don't want us to be dysfunctional. I want us to, you know, if I disagree with Ed 100%, I want to say to Ed, Ed, I love you. You're my brother. You know, we're good. And he may disagree with me, and we're good. And that's how we need to be, because we do. We want to honor the Lord. So I'm going to pray for us in this right now. Father, I come to you, and I confess again where I have been violating what I've just talked about. And I pray for us as a church that we wouldn't bite and devour and be critical of each other. Lord, we are all different. We all have different concerns, different hopes, but different issues. But our hope truly is in you. So I pray for unity for this body. I pray that we would be one. I pray that we would glorify you. And Lord, we do pray for your mercy on this land. We would pray that any vaccine would work, that there wouldn't be side effects, that that we would soon be able to all gather back together and worship together, side by side, no tape on the pews. Lord, we do long for that day. Until then, Lord, help us to treat others the way you treat us, with grace and compassion and mercy. And so we love you, we thank you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And we just give our lives to you afresh in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again. Son for redemption, the price from my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father. Surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 again and again and again. Oh, 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 my heart has been running into your arms is running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in.
been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms, running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling me out. Just as I am, you pull me in. I know I need you now. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
I want to conclude our time by just reading a passage in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father.